I carry my study spools in it. The briefcase was an authority symbol of the managerial class of the later 20th century. He unzipped the briefcase. Try to understand, Fleming. By accustoming myself to everyday objects of my research period, I transform my relation from mere intellectual curiosity to genuine empathy. You have frequently noticed I pronounce certain words oddly. The accent is that of an American businessman of the Eisenhower administration. Dig me?
Eh?
Fleming muttered. Dig me was a 20th century expression. Miller laid out his study spools on his desk. Was there anything you wanted? If not, I'll begin today's work. I've uncovered fascinating evidence to indicate that although 20th century Americans laid their own floor tiles, they did not weave their own clothing. I wish to alter my exhibits on this matter.
There's no fanatic like an academician, Fleming grated. You're 200 years behind times, immersed in your relics and artifacts, your damn authentic replicas of discarded trivia.
I love my work, Miller answered mildly.
Nobody complains about your work, but there are other things than work. You're a political, social unit here in this society. Take warning, Miller. The board has reports on your eccentricities. They approve devotion to work.
His eyes narrowed significantly. But you go too far. My first loyalty is to my art, Miller said.
Your what? What does that mean?
A 20th century term. There was undisguised superiority on Miller's face. You're nothing but a minor bureaucrat in a vast machine. You're a function of an impersonal cultural totality. You have no standards of your own. In the 20th century, men had personal standards of workmanship, artistic craft, pride of accomplishment. These words mean nothing to you. You have no soul. Another concept from the golden days of the 20th century, when men were free and could speak their minds. Beware, Miller. Fleming blanched nervously and lowered his voice.
You damn scholars, come up out of your tapes and face reality. He'll get us all in trouble talking this way.
Idolize the past if you want. But remember, it's gone and buried. Times change. Society progresses. He gestured impatiently at the exhibits that occupied the level.
That's only an imperfect replica. You impugn my research?
Miller was seething.
This exhibit is absolutely accurate. I correct it to all new data. There isn't anything I don't know about the 20th century.
Fleming shook his head.
It's no use.
He turned and stalked wearily off the level, onto the descent ramp. Miller straightened his collar and bright hand-painted necktie. He smoothed down his blue pinstripe coat, expertly lit a pipeful of two-century-old tobacco, and returned to his spools. Why didn't Fleming leave him alone? Fleming, the officious representative of the great hierarchy that spread like a sticky gray web over the whole planet, into each industrial, professional, and residential unit. Ah, the freedom of the 20th century. He slowed his tape scanner a moment, and a dreamy look slid over his features. The exciting age of virility and individuality, when men were men. It was just about then, just as he was settling deep in the beauty of his research, that he heard the inexplicable sounds. They came from the center of his exhibit, from within the intricate, carefully regulated interior. Somebody was in his exhibit. He could hear them back there, back in the depths. Somebody or something had gone past the safety barrier set up to keep the public out. Miller snapped off his tape scanner and got slowly to his feet. He was shaking all over as he moved cautiously toward the exhibit. He killed the barrier and climbed the railing onto a concrete pavement. A few curious visitors blinked as the small, oddly dressed man crept among the authentic replicas of the 20th century that made up the exhibit and disappeared within. Breathing hard,